right. It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night. And we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. And tonight we also debut more time to talk about it as we debut in the red zone starting at 7 o'clock. So we'll be with you tonight until 7:30 as we head up until the Bob Lamy broadcast of the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football. Going forward from here, we'll take you to 7:45, but tonight it's 7:30. But it's just more extra time with Dave and Glass and more time to talk about sports and what's going on, and a big football weekend as always. The Hoosiers with a 38-35 victory at home against Western Kentucky to run their record to 3-0. And there's lots to talk about, of course, there, good and bad on both sides of the ball. In fact, all three sides of the ball, with the special teams moving in the Hoosiers' favor this week, whereas in the past couple weeks, maybe not as much, but this one very much in their favor. But more importantly, most importantly of all, 3-0 on the docket for Kevin Wilson's Hoosiers. We'll have some notes about IU basketball in a little while. Of course, we'll talk about the Colts. But Glass, 3-0, that's where exactly where you need to be. You got three games to start off at home. You got a road game coming up. You had to for this team. You got to win the games against a team you should beat. And these three teams have been teams, at least theoretically, you should beat, and they're at home. You got to get them. They got them.
That's why you schedule them, and that's why you play them, and that's why you have to win them. That's four straight wins. That's the best streak since 1993, dating back to Purdue. That's interesting as well. But win, and that's what it's all about. That's what the hard work is for. Now, it's not perfect, obviously not. There are plenty of things to build on, but we've seen more good things, I think, Dave, than we've had bad things. I think that's really encouraging. There hasn't been one of those fluky performances where you say, wow, that was lucky, glad you got through that. Thankfully, that ball hit the upright and they got the replay call right. No, it hasn't been the case. Indiana's been pretty solid, and they've been solid on both sides of the ball. The one thing we talked about before the year started was, how's the offensive line going to do? They've got a lot of accolades preseason. Mm-hmm. You've seen a really good balance of running the ball and passing the ball.
They've lived up to it.
Haven't seen Nate Sudfeld getting abused, maybe on his own running calls. He could maybe get rid of that a little bit. But they've been very steady in the running game. They've been very steady in pass protection. So that's been balanced. That's been the good sign. But I think the one thing that jumps off the page for me in the three games, you always had the feeling the offense is going to move. The offense is going to put it together. The offense is going to finally start clicking. Mm-hmm. Has been the resiliency after three really bad halves of football to come out in the third quarter and shut out three consecutive opponents. And you can talk to your blue in the face, and that's what we do on this program, at least tonight till 7:30. But the point of the matter is, you can hate Indiana's defense. You can point out all the bad plays they make. You can point out all the missed tackles they make, all the bad reads, all the bad covers, all the bad rotations, all everything. But you cannot take away from them. They have come out of the locker room in the second half, down 11, down 1, down 11, and mm-hmm. they've given up 0 points and given their offense a chance to click, a chance to get in rhythm, a chance to get on schedule, to get back into the game and give them a chance to win, which they've done three times. So any way you want to cut up the defense, I'm fine with that. There are problems. There are problems that need to be solved. This wasn't a top 20 defense. This wasn't a top 20 team. The growth has shown in the first three games to me that they can get up off the mat and perform.
Well, that's the truth. These are teams that, they're not Big Ten teams, but they have been at least two good offenses and one pretty good defense that's come in here.
And if you can't do them against these teams.
Well, that's exactly the point.
It's a good learning curve
and to,
a good start.
To your point about the defense, look, you absolutely cannot come on here or any other place and tell me that the defense has been good in three games. However, what it has done is, as you pointed out, it has managed to come out of halftime. It has managed to keep their team in the game for at least that third quarter, give their offense a chance. And most importantly to me, here's the thing. You don't have to be – this is kind of going to sound really goofy, really. You don't have to be a great defense if you can get the ball back before the other team scores.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. It sounds simplistic. You don't want to watch them run 80 plays on you and run for 600 yards on you. But if you got a safety that steps in front of a guy at the 8-yard line after a 14-play drive.
Makes pick.
And you've got the ball and they didn't score off of that, then there's not the damage done, at least not the tangible damage. It might be intangible damage, but there's not the tangible damage. And that's what ultimately you want your defense to do, is to stop the other team from scoring.
The haters will point out the yards. The haters will point out the points.
Guess that
and you should, because those things are happening. But the other thing that are happening as well is Indiana's really good in turnover margin. Indiana's blocked how many field goals this year? Two.
Two.
They've blocked two field goals. Now, I know they had a punt blocked as well, so I'm gonna level this out. I get all that. Jonathan Crawford made two great picks on a guy who's got a big arm, a pro-style quarterback arm.
Smart quarterback, and accurate quarterback.
Picking on a kid, and he made two on consecutive throws, mind you.
Yeah.
That's even tougher to get back in the game. You're usually a little excited about the play you just made. You go out there, maybe you fall asleep at the wheel a little bit. He didn't. The defense, Mangieri's making plays. Oliver's around the ball forcing fumbles. You've got Scales back. You've got Ralph Green knocking
the
balls down.
The smallest guy on the offense is breaking three tackles. He's out in space in two straight games now with three defenders in front of him. Makes all of them missing scores.
Yep.
Mitchell Page, he goes 96 yards for a punt return.
Yeah, three plays or two drives and a play of over 90 yards in a game. There's a lot of good stuff. So the defense is giving up some big plays. The end of the half was not pretty. I get all that. But what the defense did was stand up and be counted when they needed to. And what did the offense do in the fourth quarter, Dave, with 5:56 left to go? Salted the game
100%.
Away. They didn't need to score.
My two favorite drives of the year were in the fourth quarter. Neither one have resulted in points.
Right.
But it took 11 minutes off the clock.
That's what the offense can do as well.
It's exactly right. And it was 22 plays on those two drives in the fourth quarter. It was 19 of those were runs.
11 minutes
you got
and 18
two big
seconds,
pass
right?
plays. Yeah, I mean, one pass play was incomplete on a fourth down, but two big pass plays that kept the ball moving. On the last drive, there was only two third downs out of 12 plays. There were no fourth downs. I mean, that's what you want that offense to do. When I have talked about the last couple of years about hearing about how the offensive line is going to be this or going to be that and leading into the season, wanting them to show it to me, that right there is exactly what I'm talking about. When you absolutely need it, when your defense is on the ropes a little bit still against a good offense, what do you need? You need a 6-minute drive to end the game, and they didn't give the ball back. That's exactly what you need, and that is the affirmation.
Yeah, Western might have not used their timeouts properly there either, but that's a Western problem. What Indiana did is they took advantage of what Western was giving them, and when you're balanced offensively, I mean, this overview is fantastic because you saw plays made in all three phases of the game, four phases if you want to throw in the return game. I know kicking and punting and all that goes usually together. But you saw Indiana make some boneheaded calls, and we'll point them out as the show goes on. Well, there's a lot to pick out from it. But when it needed to be smart and when it needed to take the game by the scruff of the neck to eat those drives up, it was full back left, full back right, full back left, full back right. And that Western Kentucky defense, if there was a boxing referee, they would have been counted out.
Puffing and puffing.
It was a standing eight count, and they would have been off to La La Land because the Hoosiers didn't decide to get cute. They didn't decide to nickel it. They just handed the ball off, let the boys up front do their job, and let the running backs hang on to the football and grind up the clock and grind up 4, 6, 5, 8, 6.
And you've got a pair of running backs that can do it.
And they like it. They get stronger as the game goes on, Dave, because the defensive side gets weaker because they have balance.
Yep.
They have that balance. It's encouraging to see. The opponents, as you mentioned, weren't the greatest. They're 3-0. That's fine with me.
These are better opponents, to be fair, than overall the last few years. Let's be fair about that even. So I think they deserve more respect. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Happy Monday!
Absolutely. Should note, Joe Smith, before he took off out of here, let me know that the Bloomington South girls golf team, they won the sectionals today. So congratulations to the crew. They will be joining Joe tomorrow night on Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at 6 o'clock.
Clear out an extra table there for the Conference Indiana Championship and the sectional trophy. So
it's
great
always,
stuff.
Always nice to come double-barreled.
Dustin Carver's ladies doing what they needed to do at Cascades today, so they're on to the regional. And North was third, so I believe they move on as well.
North advanced as well, so some good improvement out of the North team over the course of the year. I know they were breaking in some new girls all year long, but managed to get out of the sectional, so that's a great accomplishment also. 333-2665, of course, our programming note, 7:30 tonight. We're with you until, and then Bob Lamy and the Colts broadcast will take over as they face the Jets up in Indianapolis. Tonight, 8:30 is a kickoff for Monday Night Football. We'll talk about the Colts when we hit in the red zone at 7 o'clock. But first, Indiana Hoosiers 3-0 after a victory over Western Kentucky. This is a good Western Kentucky offense. And
you saw that in the first half.
Exactly. The sixth-year quarterback who's been around for a while, obviously in and out of the lineup because of injuries and stuff. That's why you get a sixth year. But he's a very smart guy. He's been around forever. He's a pretty good size. He's not a hell of a runner, but he's a pretty good size. He moves well in the pocket. He's extremely accurate. And that's what you saw watching games before this is just how well he puts the ball on the money.
And then combine that with his arm strength. You saw him taking snaps on the right hash, throwing 15 yards out on the left side of the field, and they were seeds. Yeah. There was no lollipop zing to it. That was zing across the field. Yeah. And it almost looked like our corners maybe were like, there's no way he can get that over here, right?
Right.
And it was playing a little comfy. And then the ball's on you. Yeah. But you saw on they adjusted to that, obviously. And I bet that was talked about at halftime as well. But there was no doubt that he was a legitimate – he could play at any school you'd want. Big arm and was pretty smart, minus the two bad picks he threw. And those weren't the best throws. But, again, he's confident enough after 6 years that he saw what his eyes saw, and he's confident his arm could get it there.
Well,
and the kid made a, what I'm getting at is our kid made a good play. Crawford made a good play.
I think
freshman of the week.
Look, I'll go back to last week. Watching the tape of the Florida International game, the final points were put up on the by a 96-yard interception return. Let's be fair. That was a big rush. Guys throwing the ball straight up in the air. Our guy was one of three.
The ball goes up in the air.
Our guy is one of three guys that could have grabbed it. It just happened to be the little guy who can run with it. He makes a nice play and then runs the distance because he's fast. To me, that's a nice play.
Opportunistic.
These two interceptions, though, these are what you want out of a safety. These are reading the play, reading the quarterback's eyes, breaking on the ball, getting in there, making a big play at two big times, because not only did it keep points off the board in the first case, it put points on the board in the second case because we went right in and scored right off of that. So those two, to me, are the more traditional type, what kind of play I want a safety to make, which is to get into a throwing zone when the quarterback doesn't necessarily know you're there. Those are big time to me.
They
know the 96-yarder may have been more dramatic for people.
The 96-yarder was more dramatic.
But these two were big time.
But what I like about the 96-yarder was linebacker smears quarterback, ball pops in air. So you got you got three layers of plays there.
Right.
Now you can knock it down. It's fourth down. So you're going to get the ball on the two or the three, and then you got a little issue still to deal with. So the kid kept his cool, caught it, and then Mother Nature
went
kicked
the
him. Then, boy, he's fast.
He is
fast. That was
That's why these guys are playing,
because we're talking about the defense making these plays.
There are so many true freshmen still on this defense, and especially in that secondary, because I've said this again, it's taken until the fourth and fifth years to get some of the level of talent that they really want to see out there. That's why you keep seeing these some of the older guys get replaced by younger guys, because they're just getting better guys in. These kids are playing. They're going to continue to make mistakes.
And
Crawford makes
them. That's the other side of it.
Crawford and Cook, I think, together made a mistake, or maybe it was Cook and Williams made a mistake on one touchdown.
Yeah.
So they're going to screw up a little bit, and hopefully they're gaining the experience to help them out.
But how is she going to get the experience? You hope it's games, and you hope it's plays that doesn't cost your team victories, and that hasn't been the case yet. Yes, do they need to tighten it up? Absolutely, they need to tighten it up. But the run, how many guys at cornerback are freshmen out there? They're running
Brown. At least three of them.
They're running Williams.
Yeah. Yep.
Fant has only played about five games in his career. It's not like he just because he's a redshirt sophomore doesn't mean he's been racking up starts and we just haven't paid attention to it.
Right.
He hasn't been out there a lot. Dutra, as well as he played last year. And he got out on the field for a little bit. And the guys in the defensive backfield just haven't had all of that. But at least they are making some plays to help as opposed to just hurt and learn from it. We've seen in years past where it doesn't get any better through the season.
They have to create these turnovers because, again, they are making mistakes. And up front, they're not as stout as you'd like them to be. They're just not. So you need them to make a couple big plays here and there. There was a goal line stand, nice goal line stand.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things you absolutely have to get to keep yourselves in these games because they're not stopping them. They're not shutting anybody down, and they're not coming close to it. Let's be fair about that. So they've got to make a couple big plays. In the last two games, they have managed to make a couple big plays. And that's going to have to be the focus for this defense.
And I'll even throw
– it's going to have to be for them to win games is they're going to have to get a couple of these. And in the past years, they really haven't created much of any turnovers.
And I'll throw Mangieri in there as well for blocking the kick.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's
and last week he had two fumble recoveries.
Right, and Crawford blocked the kick last week as well. So Nine's been around the football a lot.
Absolutely.
Oliver's around the football a lot. Now Scales is back. Imagine when he gets his sea legs in. This is positive things on a defense, Dave, in the last couple of years. We haven't had a whole lot of positive. The positive thing that we talked about for the last couple of years is Tim Bennett is pretty good at pass deflections.
Right.
That's kind of where it's been. So for us to have a little hyperbole here, please allow us. We've been caged animals.
We told everybody out there, 333-2665 is the phone number. We told you before the season this defense wasn't going to be very good still because it was recycling and bringing in a lot of young faces into a defense that was always already struggling.
And then had a handful of suspensions to deal with.
And it still is. It's still not a very good defense. But if 5% of their plays are big enough plays to keep points off the board,
or
that makes a difference.
Plays they've given up.
In the past, they haven't been. They haven't been able to make that 5% of the plays. So if they can still come up with 5% of these types of plays, then they're at least going to keep their offense in some of these games going forward. Right now, it's still not a very good defense. It's not going to be a shutdown defense by the end of the year. Keep making those 5% plays occasionally, and you can continue to be talked about.
It's something to build on and something to, again, it has to get better, and I think the entire staff knows it has to get better. You can't give up, how many Southern Illinois get, 45?
Yeah.
And then 38 or 35?
Yeah, 44.
44, but, yeah. Whatever it is, it's plus 35, and that's been the killer number for this defense over the years. Yards, again, yards are yards are yards are yards. 14 play drive, get down to the 8, make an interception. That's awesome, but the yards don't look very nice.
Sure.
But the points per game is what's been the problem here. Mm-hmm. You can't give up 35, 34 because you're expecting your offense almost to be perfect.
Yeah.
And Indiana's offense, as you've seen, can be really, really good with the balance it has, but against some more difficult opponents, that might not be the case when you can get 52 carries and run 95 plays. That's not going to always be the case.
What's great and what's helpful and what's interesting about creating these 5% plays I keep talking about is the last couple games, they have not only kept points off the board, which helped, obviously, but they have put points on the board, which has helped. And that's been the same
addition
in special teams also, because after that first week and you have a block punt that went for a touchdown, special teams has been pretty darn good. And you went into this Florida International, the Western Kentucky game, rather, they have a really good return guy. I mean, really good. He had at least one touchdown the week before against Louisiana Tech, and another big one that went inside the 30-yard line or something like that.
Kick it away.
He's a really good returner. He didn't have any chance.
Nope.
They kick it in the end zone, and they only had one punt all day long. So he didn't affect you at all. And on the flip side of that, you got the better of it by having Mitchell Page go 90 yards for a touchdown also. So coming into a spot that maybe looked like a liability going into the game, flip it completely around, and you end up getting points out of it on your side.
And you
so
need
that's
it all.
A big, big boost.
And you need it all when you give up that many points. You need multiple ways to score. And the other point that helps with all of that is when you don't let an offense like Western Kentucky get the ball back and make something out of it because your offense is controlling the clock. It's a three-phase game, folks. We've seen great offenses here that have struggled. You saw in your day, really good defenses and didn't get any help maybe as much as they'd like on the other side of the ball. You got to have all the pieces put together. 4 in a row, first time since 93, 3-0, first time since 2010. You have to be positive. It's not perfect. You're right. Is it getting better? Yeah, I think it's getting better. And I think the plays that you've seen, too, from some of these kids, the Crawford plays in the secondary, those aren't scheme plays. Those are him reading what's in front of him, reacting.
Nice reaction.
And he's either worked on that in practice, seen it in film, and has gotten it.
Right.
And some of the other plays, when the wide receiver cuts this way and he goes that way, and maybe he hasn't worked as hard in the film room and made a wrong decision. But again,
it happens.
Balls aren't hitting guys in the hands and dropping to the turf, and everybody's going, oh, geez, if we just could make
that's
a play.
Right. No, those are huge plays.
You're making plays, and that's part of it. And you know what? I'm going to give Fant some credit because he got picked on 4 consecutive plays there in the first quarter. You saw him get beat on the slant for about what? The crossing route. He went underneath, should have went over. That's about 45 yards or so. They go right back at him. He makes a shoot. He makes a one-on-one tackle. He gets up, bats the pass down. Again, this isn't a guy that's had a lot of stuff to deal with, a lot of plays to learn from. So you're seeing production is the word I'm looking for. You're seeing guys make plays instead of just, hey, I gave him a 12-yard cushion. They throw a 9-yard pass. I make a tackle after 11 yards. I got a tackle. Well, that's going to be part of it. I get it. But you've got some other stuff in there that looks positive. You got athletic guys. You got guys that look like when they're going in the right direction can get there quicker than maybe we've seen in the past. So, again, the defense needs work. I got it. But against a pretty good two pretty good quarterbacks. I'll give the Southern Illinois kid some credit, too.
He's a good quarterback.
I'll give him
a good, absolutely.
And that's a lot of points and a lot of yards.
And those two are veterans. I mean, fifth and sixth year guys. The kid from Florida International, I think he's a redshirt sophomore maybe. So I mean, he's a younger guy. Yeah, hasn't been around as long. The other two guys are good veteran quarterbacks.
So, again, marks for the defense. Yes, I think they've earned their marks. Yes, it's 484 yards passing. But we saw two of the – let's see. One came on the second to last drive in the first half, which was how long? It was a screen pass. A guy went 60 yards, 15-yard pass the next play to the tight end open in the end zone. Mm-hmm. We go down, get the field goal, then they chuck one over our head down the sideline. So, again, you don't want that to happen. Those are bad times for it to happen. I get that. I completely get that. Two passes or three passes right there were 150 of those yards.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen.
Big plays on mistakes, no
question. And you've got to make some plays to get back at it, and we think Crawford did that, and the defense has done that. They've made some plays, and that's what's encouraging.
I'll leave you one other thing. We've talked about this in the past. Do you think it helps this defense as much as it's still struggling to have 32 minutes a game of time of possession in their favor instead of 26? That's a big difference over the last few years.
Expand that out into six or seven games
exactly
when November
right.
wears down.
The last two games, it's been over 33 minutes.
Right.
That's big for a defense that's a liability. I mean, there's a reason you want the ball that much. And it's when your defense is a liability, you limit your liabilities. It sounds conservative. You don't like it. You want to be okay, whatever. Keep the ball. It's a smart thing to do.
And you can count on a couple fingers how many wins in late October and November this team's had over the last few years. Why? Because usually their defense is on the field for a lot of it. So that's part of the issue there. All right. We've got plenty more football to do today. That's the good news. What time are we going to again today?
7:30.
Next Monday, we get you even longer.
That's right. 7:45 inside the red zone, or in the red zone, rather, starting at 7 o'clock here going forward throughout the fall and into the winter as we have Monday Night Football for you all winter long.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
It's not winter yet, but...
No, it's not even fall yet. Let's get to Wednesday.
Beautiful weather, and tonight, 7:30 tonight, but we got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, a little bit more IU football. We haven't talked too much about the offense just yet.
But we will.
And there's questions, goods and bads, of course, about the offense, but we'll talk about all that in a couple minutes. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note. Again, we're with you until 7:30 with In the Red Zone taking over at 7 o'clock. And right after that, we'll have Bob Lamy taking over for the Colts pregame 8:30 kickoff with the Jets in town to face the Colts on Monday Night Football. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's. He'll have the Bloomington South girls golf team, who are now both conference and sectional champions. After today's sectional, we'll note that the North girls also moving out of the sectional to the regional, so congratulations to them also. We'll be back, Terry and I, on Wednesday night. We've got Reds baseball tomorrow night and Wednesday. NFL on Thursday, Washington at the New York Giants, 8 o'clock. And then John Callahan and I will be in Ellettsville to bring North Putnam to town for a face-off against the Edgewood Mustangs. 6:30 Chalk Talk and 7 o'clock kickoff for that. 333-2665 is our phone number. IU football, they are 3-0. Victors 38-35 over Western Kentucky. 11 minutes time of possession in that fourth quarter on two drives, 19 runs out of 22 passes, took the last 5:56 off the clock, and knelt down on the ball on the two-yard line of Western Kentucky. That's a nice way to end the game.
Yes, it is, with the goal line peering right there at you, and you don't need it. That is always fun. The reason you do that is quite simple. You don't fumble. You don't trip and fall. They don't pick up the ball and run the other way for a touchdown. That's why you don't stick it in the end zone.
Points don't get you any more of a win at that point.
and exactly right. And there's too many things that can go wrong, so just kneel on it and enjoy and forget about padding the stats for one drive.
333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John.
John!
How you doing, John?
Happy Monday, guys.
Happy. It's a great Monday.
Absolutely.
I don't expect Indiana, this program, to ever have a dominating defense. I just don't think they'll have the personnel to ever do that. If they can be decent, I'll settle for that. I think most fans would.
Well, let me ask you a question real quick, because I don't think you're wrong, per se, but how many, besides the Blue Bloods, who has great offense and defense? If you look around the country, you say Baylor, great offense. If you say Boise State, great offense. You're not both. So
you're either one or the
other.
Yeah,
and I think offensively, Wilson has proven they can be in that argument, yards, points per game, quarterbacks, running backs, sure, developing guys for the next level. I'm kind of cool with that.
Well, I am too.
Cool in a hip, in a hep cat way.
The problem with the game is not that they made it gave up big plays, but they consistently gave up big plays. I know it's the first game of the year. That's the thing that's got to stop. They're going to give up big plays this year all throughout the season because they're so young in the secondary.
If these were fifth-year corners.
They've got to make it harder, and they got to make some plays at the other end for the defense. They've got to make some plays, too.
If these were fifth-year corners and fifth-year safeties, I'd be banging like pots and pans.
Like the 2 years before this?
I'd be banging pots and pans, banging my head against the wall. I get it. You can't hurry up and grow them up. You can't go on the waiver wire and bring in a couple guys. Davis pointed out accurately for the last couple of years, how many JUCO players have they brought in trying to fill these holes and none of them worked?
Yeah, and that's why you're looking at five freshmen playing
so
on the defensive backfield.
I get that. And you know what? Being on sometimes being on sports radio tends to be irrational, but I think IU fans that are smart and get it can say, yeah, those are 18-year-old kids, and that's sometimes what you get for being back there. But you know what? I don't remember big interception plays being made the last couple of years by any of those guys we've been talking about.
That's the point. We didn't get a lot of takeaways.
You're getting a little to give a little,
and
I'm cool with that.
It's only three games into the season, and it's not Big Ten competition yet. But they have made a couple really big plays. And again, the defense can be ugly if you make the right big play at the right times, and they've made a couple of them. It's not been pretty. I'm going to tell you,
John, if you had your druthers, it does right now, but
it's made a couple big plays.
Would you rather have offense or defense as your selling point?
I think it's Indiana, the offense.
Yeah, I think
I'll say something as a guy who's watched him for 45 years.
I was going to say,
now,
you've got a pretty good landscape portrait of everything that's happened here.
There have been two guys, the junior college players that come here that come to mind that I think have been impactful. Actually, Vaughn Dunbar was an impact right away because he sat out a year because his first year here, Eddie Thompson was a senior. But Vaughn Dunbar was a JUCO, and then Dwayne Gunn, who was here before, who was the best wide receiver I've ever seen at IU. He came in after 1 year and a JUCO in Oklahoma and was a star right off the bat. But it usually just doesn't happen that way.
David Cooper was a really nice player.
Yeah, nice player.
He's solid. Not an impact player.
He's not an impact player.
The Thomas kid, the middle linebacker. I mean, there's been a few of them that have been solid players and solid starters.
Yeah, the kid from California.
Again, they brought in 11 JUCOs in a two-year period on the defensive side of the ball.
They tried.
And you got really only two or three of them that started any games. Two of the corners only started during one season, then were gone again all of a sudden. David Cooper was the one guy that stuck around for 3 years, and he did have 3 years that were available there. But the point there is, early in the tenure of Kevin Wilson, he tried to get quick fixie on the defense with a bunch of JUCO kids, and very little of it worked. And what that does is that takes up your high school player spots. Now, maybe they wouldn't have gotten the Crawford and the other kids that they've got in this class and that quality at those high school spots instead. But now that's why you're looking at true freshmen instead of juniors and seniors being back there. Fant's pretty much the only one.
Yeah, and remember, Williams was a running back when he came to town.
Right.
Here's the question I got for you, Dave. This will go to you especially because you're the son of a defensive coordinator. Can IU consistently, going forward, win against I'm not talking about Purdue, but against the Iowas, the Michigans, the Marylands, and
that
people
second
like that
tier?
And they win running a 3-4 defense? Because I think that sooner or later they have to revert to a 4-3 so they can get a pass rush consistently on somebody.
You know what?
Is that personnel driven?
I think it entirely depends on the opposition because you're seeing a lot more spread out there. Even Ohio State, who is one of the best power running games in the NCAA football, they run spread. I mean, they spread you out and then let their power beat the crap out of your smaller line, your lesser lineup inside. So people are starting to spread you out a little bit. I think if you've got three bodies, yes. I still say right now you don't have the personnel that's perfect for what Brian Knorr wants to do on this team. But then again, you didn't.
What do you want to do ultimately, though?
I think he'd like to be a little smaller up front, to be honest, and rely more on quickness. I think on the outside spots. He's a 3-4 guy, but I think he'd like a little bit more quickness. Now, Darius Latham has got some of that quickness. Mangieri, I think, has some of it. I think maybe at that bandit spot, I'd like to see a little bit more quickness.
They're not.
I mean, at the outside spots right now, they're not the kind of quickness that really causes the problems. Virginia Tech has run a defense for years and years where they put a 220-pound defensive end out there. Now, he's an elite runner. Okay, so if you can find that, great, because that's what ends up causing problems. Back to your original question about what does Indiana want, offense or defense? I don't think there's any question Indiana wants offense. You know, Indiana fans bailed on Bill Mallory because they concentrated too much on their defense and missed some offensive recruiting classes and therefore got behind on the offensive side, and they got bored with it. And they showed by not showing up and booing and basically, you know, ousting the best coach they've had at the university. So they want something exciting. They loved the prospect of Cam Cameron and all the trick plays and throwing it all over the place.
I think you're getting that now.
And Antoine Randall-El running circles around himself. I mean, they love that stuff. So they want the excitement. They want the fireworks. They want all that. So from Indiana, I'd like defense. I'd like to see some. But I think Indiana fans in general would like the excitement to bring them to the games. And I think it needs to be an offense, especially if you guys are an offensive coach like this.
And the offensive coach is going to get better offensive players and defensive players.
Sure,
and
he's got that reputation.
Just makes sense. And again, John, we've seen even the good teams, you still have to put points on the board in college football today.
Right.
There are no more days of 13-10 and 14-13.
Right. Alabama had 43 points scored against them.
Yeah, at home.
At home.
At home.
Yeah.
And we're down 43-20 and turned the ball over five times.
And you can't name Mississippi's running back.
No, you can't.
You can name one of their wide receivers.
And that Kelly kid looked at Indiana for a while.
He did look at Indiana.
Unbelievable.
And we'll see when he gets arrested next, too.
I think the angle is points give you a chance in almost any game to win if you can move the football, because shutting down a really good offensive team, you need really good defensive players. Right. Offense, you've got more with the, like Dave mentioned, today's spread game. You've got so many different pieces you can run at and run. And it seems like every rule in college football, same with pro, is designed for who? The offense, not the defense. So I think that makes sense. And kids growing up, a lot of guys grow up, I don't know if they dream about being a defensive tackle in the trenches of the Big Ten. I think they want to be the 220 speed linebacker in the SEC. They want to make the plays on the outside like Amari Cooper at Alabama. They want to run the ball like all these other guys. So I think that's where the talent is moving, and it'll shift. Remember when the wishbone was the hot thing?
Yeah. Remember Cody Latimer was looking at maybe becoming an all Big Ten safety at Michigan State.
Right.
He became an all Big Ten drafted NFL wide receiver at IU.
Here. So there's something to be said about all that. Indiana's defense, I think the word you're looking for is good. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation. Be good. Do your job. Make some plays. Try not to give up the big ones. Keep the ball in front of you. And if it's fourth and one on the goal line, you make a stop, you should be applauded for that. We haven't had a lot of those to talk about over the last few years.
Well, here's the good news. I'm glad they're spending a lot of time in Florida and Georgia, because that's where you get a lot more speed than you do anyplace else.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And then there's not spots for all those kids. Look at the two deep roster. There's only so many SEC schools.
Not with 85 scholarships.
No.
When it was 120, they could, but they can't keep everybody
and
now.
Kids don't want to sit now. And
no,
we're showing
don't.
Them, if you can play, the one thing you'll give Wilson credit for is it might not be turning into wins and losses yet. But if you can play, you play here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is not a Bo Schembechler, you will play the first game of your junior year come hell or high water. You play.
Hey, think about it this way, too. And again, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. Has anybody seen Dominic Booth anywhere?
No. How about Marquis Hawkins?
Four-star, was going to Tennessee, big stuff, one of the best recruits in Indiana. He can't even see him on the field. You tell me if he's been on the sideline. I have no idea, but he's certainly not seeing the field.
The transfer from Notre Dame.
And that's the point. These younger guys, whoever the heck's making plays, are the ones that are getting out there. And they're playing two true freshman wide receivers. You're not seeing them get a lot of balls, but they're out there getting some playing time.
Well, we went down to Tennessee to see the Tennessee-Oklahoma game. And
cracking game.
Nice.
Huh?
There was a cracking match. Double overtime. They know you were coming.
It was great. And the guy that coached the quarterback at Tennessee, Joshua Dobbs, is from Alpharetta. And the guy that ended up succeeding him as a quarterback is Austin King, who's a freshman here now. And I talked to somebody that down there and asked him what they thought. And that's from Georgia that came up to see the game. I said, Austin King's got a really, really bright future. I mean, they're redshirting him this year, but, I mean, he could be the guy starting for them next year.
Well, this is important. You want to talk about the next couple years, because Nate Sudfeld, the last 3 years, has been so huge to this program. You can see it. They need that next step behind that, because you're going to get a lot of your offensive line coming back. I mean, Dan Feeney's got another year of eligibility he may or may not use. Spriggs, I believe, graduates. But you're going to have a lot of that offensive line coming back. Howard's got another year. All your wide receivers, for the most part, are coming back. All your defense, for the most part, is coming back. So, I mean, there's a lot looking forward down the line. I don't want to make this into a Big Ten champion, because it's not that, but there's a lot looking down the line that could be coming back if you've got a guy that can make you a few plays at quarterback.
do you think Howard will be back next year, or do you think he'll be a one and done because he's so dominant right now?
I don't know the kid enough to tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know what his family background. You know what? Next time we talk to Zach Osterman from the Star, I'll put that bug in his ear
He is a third-year junior, so presumably he would be able to leave if he wanted to. You know, he's leading the national rushing totals right now, so he's certainly going to start getting that attention.
But let's get through the Big Ten season first.
I'm not sure speed-wise what the NFL is going to think of him. He's got really good speed for college. He doesn't. I mean, I don't want for anything in regards to what I'm seeing out of this kid right now. But I don't know what the NFL is going to see out of that. Tevin Coleman was 6'1", 220,
and
was the
like
fastest
the
guy
wind.
In the field.
So, this guy's 20 pounds bigger than
yes. Coleman. Let's see. Let's let him run the gamut in the Big Ten first, and that's not a knock on UAB, Western Kentucky, Florida International. Let's let him get. You're going to know.
But three or four SEC schools while he was at UAB.
Yes.
Arkansas, Mississippi State, people like that. I think maybe LSU too. But I know he played Arkansas. I know somebody that saw him play. That was an Arkansas fan and said, "You got a big timer right there." So I was expecting him to.
You
got to
do the business though, because we can talk fantasy stats all night long. But you got to do it against Ohio State on October 3rd. That's when you get noticed.
His strength, his size, his nifty feet,
his catching ability,
his decent speed are excellent for college football. Again, I'm just not certain it's a pro. I'm not sure it translates into being a draftee that he'd want to leave right away. And that's not an insult to the kid. It's just. At that size, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the NFL looks like.
Does he kind of remind you of Beanie Wells at Ohio State?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, Beanie had lighter feet, though. Beanie could dance.
Yeah.
Howard's more of a forceful dancer. Beanie was more of a tiptoer, at least what I remember.
He's got to shift around more than Dane, but I was thinking Ron Dane had pretty good feet, too. You know, he's more
Wells
of a power
was
guy.
A little nimbler for me. He just seemed to – but again, it's a good comparison because that's the kind of back you need in that league.
Yeah,
not the like Kevin Wilson brings this up every press conference, and I think it's good that he does so. Tevin Coleman was awesome, great thing for a program, not the best fit for what we're trying to do offensively. Well, he's saying that in so many words without saying it. He did, which puts your defense right back on the field.
Exactly.
And Howard and Redding have developed.
John, the last
nice
two
punch.
Games, the offense has had the ball 33 minutes.
That's
you know,
huge.
3 years ago it was 25 minutes a game. That's enormous for a defense that's already struggling.
You've
limited 6, 7, 8 minutes of exposure.
It's fun to talk like this, isn't it? Imagine we can do it more than once every 10 years.
I think there will be 4-0 when they come back, and we'll see what happens
so too.
The rest of the way.
I think they need to remember that Wake Forest is an ACC team. I think they need to remember they need to do some of the good things they've been doing and forget about some of the other things. It's on the road, and all these players we just mentioned who don't play a lot now have a completely different environment to perform or not perform in, and this is the first test. And then you get Ohio State, and bang, you're right in the conference season. So it's going to get harder, but it's exciting because you haven't had any bad losses to talk about, and that hasn't – love me or hate me, that's been the case for the last however many years.
John, we got to let you
go. Good job,
thanks
John.
For the call.
Always great.
We appreciate it,
always
as always.
Always fun to talk to John.
Absolutely.
Knows stuff.
Got to take a quick break.
What's that number one more time?
333-2665.
Might not be able to squeak you in by the top of the hour, but we're here till 7:30,
absolutely.
So that's the good news.
Extra
so write
time.
That number down for now and every Monday night.
We go overtime tonight and every night throughout September, October, November, December,
Monday,
and into
Funday.
January. Got to take that quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Heading towards the top of the hour, but a reminder, we'll be with you across the top of the hour in the red zone, kicking off just after 7 o'clock. We're going with you till 7:30, where Bob Lamey takes over for the Colts Network broadcast of Monday Night Football with the Jets in town to face the Colts. Going forward, we'll be with you until 7:45, and we'll take the national broadcast of Monday Night Football. 333-2665 is a phone number. Before we wrap up, IU victors 38-35 over Western Kentucky.
Let's give that offense some credit, shall we?
We should. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an idiot.
I'm probably going to
sound like an idiot to somebody out there, and I fully agree with you. I'll be honest about it. They're putting up numbers. They're putting up yardage. But so far, there's been some sloppiness that has – it concerns me from time to time. It's sure. not going to concern me and keep me up at night. I understand it's going to be hard to win against Ohio State and Michigan State. I'm not foolish here, okay? So I'm not going to make anything out to be, you're not going to beat Ohio State if you do that. No, you're not going to beat Ohio State anyways. And if you do, it's going to take five turnovers. So just be good.
Which can happen.
But going down to Wake Forest, if they play the way they did in the first half, which I thought was extremely sloppy on offense, they only scored 10 points in the first half on offense. You know, seven of that was a 95-yard punt return, which is fantastic. We'll take it every day. But it still makes me wonder what this thing's going to look like when it does have to go on the road in the Big Ten. And it's got to go to a tough spot against a team that's going to be better than these teams that they've faced. Because it's going to be from here on out.
Down 11 or down 18 or down 20.
The schedule from here on out is not so daunting that you're scared to death of it, but it's better than it was already.
Yeah.
And it has come up, and they've been good teams, and I think they deserve respect. But it's still better from here on out also.
Yeah, you had three offensive linemen with holding penalties in about eight plays. That's not normal. This is usually one of the least penalized groups.
Well, Nate Sudfeld's just running down the field.
Ball knocks off his thigh pad.
Falls out. He short hops a fourth down when a guy's wide open and should have picked it up. Those are just sloppiness enough.
Running option on third and 13 to the short
when
side.
When you're giving up 550 to 600 yards a game on defense, if those couple big plays, those 5% plays I talk about, don't come, then your offense better not be making them also.
I understand it, and it happens, and it needs to be cleaned up. But I think those are good problems to have when you're 3-0, where you can still point and grab the group back in and say, well, look over here at this film and tell me why this is happening. Why are you holding here? 77, 67. It was like bingo. It was Connect Four. It was Battleship. And everybody was getting –
offensive line bingo is never good.
No, it's not. And not in a 10-play series or whatever it was. And then that stalled drives out, and you had to punt. And then you get down in some of the play calling. Third and 13 on the 15, you run an option to the short side where the guy can't run.
Exactly.
But they've done that in the red zone, and that's part of that sloppiness you're talking about. Wilson was on himself last week when you were gone. He said, hey, this is on me. These are some bad calls. And Sudfeld was like, no, I'm checking out of them. They get it. They just haven't
fixed the pass to Howard. Again, there were two drives in the fourth quarter, and the first one ended on a fourth down where they tried a wheel pass to Howard up the sideline. So there's a little something in there. And again, they're getting production. So, I mean, I'm not going to make it a huge deal, but
in that film room,
there's stuff to sew up still.
I'm not against that.
And this week is when you need to make sure. I think they're a little better over there because I think defensively they're going to get some problems with those youngsters on the road for the first time. Got to take a quick break when we get back inside or in the red zone rather, and we'll be with you in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCO. And we present In the Red Zone for the first time in 2015. We'll have it with you throughout the football season as we take over the Monday night football slot here on WGCL. 7:30 tonight. It'll be 7:45 the rest of the year, but 7:30 tonight as we've got the Colts, and of course we take the Colts broadcast.
Is this the Colts only Monday night game?
I believe so.
Then every other Monday besides this one will be 7:45. That's the Westwood One pregame into the 8:30 Monday night football.
Exactly. So tonight the Jets come to town. And coming off a loss at Buffalo, I can't say it was surprising that they lost at Buffalo, but they sure got it handed to them up there.
They did, especially a Buffalo team that just gave up 500 yards passing to Tom Brady about 24 hours ago as well. Rainy day, Buffalo's hyped, obviously big bad Andrew Luck coming to town. And the Colts, unlike the Hoosiers, Dave, balanceless. Luck checking out of too many runs.
Yep.
Not running the ball when you got to throw it 49 times. Geez, I think I said that exactly to Terry on Wednesday last week. Every time Luck throws the ball over 45 times, it's usually not good thing. Special teams were bad. Defense was bad. Offensive line was bad. Receivers were bad. Everybody was bad. Quarterback was bad at times. And it was you hope they got it all out of their system. A tough road to start. Let's give Buffalo some credit. Rex Ryan has had a pretty good handle on the Colts
over the years. Yeah, he's a defensive guy, no question.
But, again, the running game or absence of it didn't help. And when you become one-dimensional against a secondary like Buffalo has and a pass rush like they have, mm-hmm. Dave, bad things happen, and everything that could possibly go wrong in that game for the most part did. Down 17-0 at half, they get the kickoff in the second half, they go right down the field and score, it's 24-0,
right.
And the game is over. It's 24-13, you got to make a play, it doesn't happen. And well, away you go.
And you deal with all that, and then you've also got to deal with the fact that they're talking about the coach and the GM being on the outs for one another,
you know,
and the coach doesn't
point.
Have an extension either. And
if they win,
a lot going
if they
on.
Win that game, you talk about that? Does that come up? Or because
well,
it just
came out beforehand.
Sure. The rumbling,
wouldn't be as big
the
of a deal.
The rumblings came out beforehand. After the game, it was addressed. If the Colts would have won that game, you just wonder if that just kind of – you put that in your back pocket for the first
– That's part of the show.
It's almost pouring the gas on the fire.
Well, but
we got a big loss. Let's get to the bottom of it
now. But that's
part
of the show. See, we don't get that show here in Indianapolis very often. You get that show when you're in New York or when you're in Boston.
Well, you don't even notice it in those cities. That's just daily business.
Exactly. But that's the kind of thing they're dealing with on constantly. We don't deal with it that much because it's just those sorts of things don't make our news cycle very often or don't get drug up very often. So it's new. It's not going away until the end of the season or until we know about Pagano.
That's the interesting part. What did you think was going to happen after one game? All that work they put in since February was just going to come to an end and you're going to fire the guy? Or Gregson's going to come out and say, we hate each other. It's obvious. Can't you tell? It was small. It looked small time. It felt small time because you weren't going to get an answer. And then the dressed up answer was, well, now Ursa's commenting on it, so you know what's happening. Well, no, it's not. No. You asked him a question. He gave me an answer.
He purposely
and his job is the face of the franchise where he sticks his nose in wherever he pleases, by the way. He doesn't have to be there. And he told you what it was. You don't want to believe him. Your sources tell you one thing. That's completely fine. I don't think that factors into Andrew Luck or handing the ball off or audibling out of run options into pass options and unbalancing the offense.
The only thing I've said about it is I don't know why it's the coach they're talking about being the problem and not the GM. I've said this before.
Yeah.
There's far too many personnel issues with this team right now after 3 or 4 years or whatever it is.
That sounds to be the problem. Pagano's upset they haven't addressed problems they've had. And it's not like Luck goes out of three and out and walks over to the line and says, hey, Gregson,
get me an offensive lineman,
bro.
Exactly.
He doesn't do that. He's a professional.
No,
you're
going to see during the course of the season, I think, something come to a head eventually. I don't know if it'll come to a head between the two of them, but you're still dealing with this young defensive line, a young defense that doesn't have enough up front. They're now hurt in the back end. We find out Darius Butler and Greg Toler are both out for this particular game. Thank God it's whoever's playing quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Jets, who we've seen before. But on the offensive line, same kind of thing. You got a little bit older and not getting better up there. These are the kind of things you got to get figured out, whether whoever's the GM, whoever's the coach.
Colts started 0-2 last year. They've been 11-5 every year, folks.
Yeah.
When they're 2-6, come back and point your finger, wag your finger in my face and say, you told me so. With Andrew Luck,
they're going to be
solved
in decent
a lot
shape.
More. Hey, you want to be, how are the Bears doing today?
Not very good.
Tell me about their quarterback. Hamstring problem. How's Tony Romo's clavicle?
Yeah, not very
How's
good.
Drew Brees' shoulder?
Well, let's not do that to Andrew Luck is my point.
But my
I'm saying
point,
that for 4 years. Let's not get the guy hurt.
My
you,
point
you can rely
is,
on the 6'5", 240 guy not getting hurt for too long, and then all of a sudden Ben Roethlisberger's out for 10
my
games.
My point is the quarterback can paper over a lot more cracks.
He has.
And will continue to do so, and that's the good news, Colts fans. So let's see what happens tonight after the Colts beat the Jets tonight. I think everybody will take a deep breath, get back on schedule in the division. The division's upside down. Houston's 0-2.
Absolutely.
Jacksonville beats Miami yesterday. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, Hall of Famer, terrible within 2 weeks.
Same with Winston.
He there
and
you
Mariota
go.
Both.
So,
that's
again,
funny.
When you look at the Colts huddle and number 12 is standing there, there's not – you want perfection? I get it. 11-5 isn't good enough for you. You pay your money. You can complain all you want. As long as Luck is there. And he is 80% or better, I'm fine with what the Colts
do. Well, but
right
that's
now.
The point. Is once if something
fine
happens to that,
me.
Then you've got a big issue. So
and your season's
you
got to
protect it eventually.
Your
here.
Season's over.
There's 4 years. This is the fourth year. They haven't figured out that front yet. They need to consider it.
You'd love to
and
have
again, it's
it.
It's just surprising to me when you've got a guy who's an offensive lineman by trade.
Yep. Smart.
That's the surprising part.
Yeah. Until, again, he's.
Well, the defensive guy who wants a defensive front by trade. That's what
Arthur
he wants.
Jones didn't help anything there. The two draft picks played decent. How many tackles did Anderson have last week?
You can
week?
Throw a little unlucky in there, no question.
Yes, it always happens. You never roll the dice. They always come up snake eyes, and they don't always come up craps. It's both of them. But the NFL is a lovely soap opera, and we've already touched on part of it, and we're not even 80 minutes into the season yet. Right. It's great. That's why it's the highest watched shows, whatever it is. That's why it beat the Emmys by about 70 million viewers last night. Mm-hmm. It is the best reality television going because you get the soap opera effect because there's 6 days in between games. You get the soap opera effect of Twitter and the reporters and the players and the dumbness and the smartness and the charitable givings and you name it. It's got everything in it, and we've got it for you tonight at 8:30 with the Colts and Jets.
And you're right about one thing. It's been a completely diametrically different second week from the first week. I mean, everything that was great is awful, and everything that was awful is great. I mean, it's absolutely astounding.
You know,
Chip Kelly was the best coach in the history of football after one game.
DeMarco Murray, they paid him $56 million. He has 12 yards rushing in two
games. Yeah, I mean, the preseason, you thought, geez, I mean, Philadelphia's going to win it all. They can't win. They can't do anything. They get 10 points at home.
Sure.
You know,
the
and all their guys are gone. The Raiders were a disaster in the first week. Now they beat the Ravens, who,
great defense.
The Ravens every year are a Super Bowl contender. 30, now they can't
30,
win. They're 0-2.
And the Bears are awful, and there's not a lot different
about the same.
Any of all of
Johnny
that.
Manziel now looks like a potential all-pro.
A normal quarterback. He looks like he can play in the National Football League. And and the Giants are 0-2, and the Redskins won a game, things that you didn't think would happen. That's why it's captivating. That's why it's unbelievable. But when Andrew Luck tonight goes 22 for 30, with three touchdowns, and the Colts win 34-17.
Well, if you're going to follow the theme of the first 2 weeks,
that's it.
This should be a nice, easy breathing victory where the Colts do what they need to do, because partly because there's no quarterback on the other side. Ryan Fitzpatrick deserves a little bit more respect than that, but I'm not sure he's got anything else on that team. They ran the ball very well in their first game of the year.
Chris Ivory is playing tonight.
Yeah, Ivory and Bilal Powell, I mean, this is a good running game up front. Well, it will test the Colts' defensive front. We will see about that. Ryan Fitzpatrick will chuck the ball around a little bit, but if he throws for 380 yards on you.
Jets defense looked really good against John Manziel, not against Andrew Luck.
Let's take a deep breath. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. You're in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and in AM 1370 WGCL. Sorry, thrown off a little bit.
You're right.
Heading towards the bottom of the hour here as Bob Lamy takes over for a pregame. Colts hosting the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. I was wrong. The Colts do play again on Monday Night Football against Carolina at the beginning of November. So that'll be the only other time where in the red zone will be until 7:30 and still until 7:45. But, of course, tonight is the first. The inactive list for the Colts, it raises a couple eyebrows, but mostly because of who it doesn't contain, as T.Y. Hilton and Robert Mathis are both active tonight. So both would be expected then to see some time. Greg Toler and Darius Butler in your defensive backfield are inactive, so that's going to be a little bit of an issue. But Robert Mathis, that's the big one. I mean, you're talking about a year now.
614 days since his last game, almost two, you're right. And again, a pass rush that didn't have a whole lot of effect on Tyrod Taylor will be attacking maybe a little bit different target tonight in Fitzpatrick. Obviously, Taylor more mobile, more agile, presented a different threat than Fitzpatrick, more of your classic dropback passer, Dave. But Mathis, we're going to see why they kept him around.
Yeah.
There's been some folks, Vic Ballard, they tried and tried and tried, and he's in the Boom Heron, but they've kept Mathis through thick and thin, suspension and Achilles and everything else, and he's no spring chicken. It's going to be very interesting. I think, as the Twitterverse is correctly pointing out, don't be shocked if he plays a handful of plays to get back to game speed. It's not going to be out there for, I wouldn't think, 50 defensive snaps.
No, I mean, if you think he's going to be out there for five sacks, you're kind of nuts on that.
No, but you would like to see some explosion. You would like to see some havoc. Not to make 50 plays, but just to notice he's out there, because what you don't want to see is a guy that's, oh, geez, he's a step slow.
Yeah, exactly right.
But if they're going to activate him, I'm guessing that he is performing in practice. Obviously, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
said. Jonathan Newsom, they're saying, has got a hamstring issue. So, I mean, they obviously need an extra pass rusher out there. Look, they've brought in other pass rushers. They've tried to address that situation.
Yes.
Obviously, to have a bunch of numbers, you need those numbers. But it is interesting, because you're exactly right. They have made certain decisions with this team that have made you kind of go, trying to keep these guys around to see if they can. They let other guys go pretty quickly, when the first sign of if anything
cheaper,
happens.
Cheaper,
exactly right.
Cheaper guys.
Exactly right. So
I'm not knocking Mathis
here. What does Mathis look like?
I'm knocking Achilles injury. I'm knocking 34.
Right.
I'm knocking what is his key attribute on as a defensive lineman?
That's speed.
Speed. Yeah. And guess where you get that from in your legs? You can't have dead legs. I have a Jets inactive for you just to make you laugh. Probably two people listening to this program will get it. Ben Ijulana.
Ijulana.
So, see, Dave, he's inactive everywhere, just not for the Colts.
Well, but here's a look.
Now, we'll tell the backstory real quick so people
know. I'll tie this back. when Bill Polian tried to address the offensive line after the Super Bowl and several guys ended up either leaving for greener pastures, both the guards, in fact.
Yes, chasing money.
And then Tarik Glenn ended up retiring right after the Super Bowl.
Which was late.
Yes, it was. But they picked up two guys, second and third round draft picks. Ben Ijulana was a second round draft pick. Anthony Costanzo, I think, was the first round draft pick.
Yes, he was. Then. I believe that's accurate.
So Ijulana was a guy out of Delaware or Villanova. I think it was
Villanova. Right.
But nice looking player. But he ended up with knee injuries back to back first 2 years. And so it was cut after his third year. But there's Bill Polian trying to solve the offensive line problems. They haven't been able to figure that interior offensive line since that Super Bowl team.
Great.
Yeah, they haven't.
Costanzo's a great pick.
Well, no, Costanzo. Yeah. Was great, but the interior of that offensive line, those three guys in the middle, they still have not figured that out. It's been since they lost Jake Scott and whoever the other guy was at that guard spot, because it was Jeff Saturday in the middle, but the two guards were Jake Scott and there's another guy that's going to come.
Remember where Jeff Saturday came from?
Where?
Free agent workout.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, he's going to be honored tonight, which
you
is
you get lucky sometimes and you get unlucky sometimes.
Yeah.
But the Colts can't. Luck isn't going to be the part of the Colts that needs working on. He's fine under center, and he makes his own luck most of the time because he can do it with his feet. He can do it with his arm. You need to clean up some things tonight, both on the offensive line, and it starts with the running game. Because here's what the Jets are going to do when they get the ball: they're going to give it to Chris Ivory 30 times.
Absolutely.
Why? So Luck can't have
it.
That's exactly right. So the Colts are going to have to use their possessions wisely. Philip Dorsett, you get another break. It's raining. You got rain in your face. You're catching balls in Buffalo, sort of. You're dropping them. You're muffing them. Again, they go to Griff Whalen tonight. They put Dorsett out there because he breaks. He's gone.
Yeah.
So you've got it. That's another interesting angle to this game. What are the Colts going to do in their backfield? Well, if Ivory runs the ball, that's bad anyhow. And then if they can run the ball and then mix you up, run and pass, that's worse.
And Fitzpatrick's not awful.
No, he's not. He's been in the league too long to be that bad.
He's more of a sitting duck back there if you can get a pass rush going than a Geno Smith would be. But he's a heady quarterback. He's a Harvard kid here.
And remember,
he's a smart guy.
The Colts were blasting Houston 24-0 last year in Houston. And
he made a nice comeback.
Well, so did J.J. Watt's touchdown. But, but again,
he was part of that.
He had the ball last, and I think it was a late pick or a late sack that killed that game off.
Colts are 14-1 when following a loss since drafting Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I mean, you said the one thing that's the whole key to the whole thing. And look, I don't know, Grigson at the end of the day, Pagano at the end of the day, who knows who gets credit for what at the end of the day. Andrew Luck, to me, gets credit for everything. Everything that's happening with this team. And I don't want to minimize every other guy out there.
But
he, his stature, his smarts, his strength, his ability to run, all of the physical stuff he has behind him, just how resilient he is with everything. Everything this team is right now is Andrew Luck. You cannot get him hurt. That's what it comes down to long term. It comes down to every single
and
game.
And here's how you
he'll
solve
keep
that
you
problem.
In it as much as humanly possible because he's that good. And he'll spread the ball out. I mean, he'll get it to his weapons because he knows he's got some of them.
But here's the thing. It's the double-edged sword. How do you keep Luck healthy, upright, and clean? You got to run the ball. And the other thing is quick drops, quick slants, quick everything. But what does Luck do the best? He throws a deep ball perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to take those chances and hope your line holds up because – you have Dorsett the speed. You have Hilton the speed. You have Moncrief. You've got Andre. You've got the tight ends. You just have all these wonderful toys to
ring,
play
ring
with.
Ring me when Dorsett makes a play.
I will.
I'll be watching.
Absolutely
I want
right.
to see it, but ring me.
He's drafted. He's part of the team. That's the angle. You have these guys, and Luck is at his best when he can use the whole field.
Yeah.
So you can't
he uses
make him,
everybody.
You can't make him a dink and dunk quarterback because your line doesn't work. So if Gore can get running, if you can get – who's the other kid? The kid was great in the preseason.
Robinson?
Yeah, just Josh Robinson.
Josh Robinson.
What I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
But Gore's the difference there. You have to trust he's a veteran back. Give him the ball. Let him find a couple gaps.
Right.
Let him slip through the line. It doesn't – what I'm trying to tell
That's
Andrew –
why you brought him in, right?
What I'm trying to tell Andrew, it doesn't have to be a perfect run play.
Mm-hmm.
It can look funny. Let Gore make the play.
Right.
Why? It takes the heat off you. It keeps the defense on balance. There's so many positive things to come out of it, even if it's a gain of one or two. You've got to show you're going to commit to it. They abandoned that so quick against Buffalo, yeah. Dave. They made it harder for themselves than perhaps they needed to. And when it's a rainy, crappy day,
yeah, you want the ball.
You want
you brought in Frank Gore to control the line of scrimmage, to control the clock, and to keep heat off of Andrew Luck, but more so to have that option in between there. He's one of the few guys. There aren't tons and tons of running backs that are going to make plays for you out of these things. You've got to find a way. You've got to have a guy that can help you out a little bit with some of that. Sure, you got to block for him, but this is a guy that's different than those guys that they've had in that he will fall forward. He will break an arm tackle at the line of scrimmage.
He rushes for 1,000 yards a year.
He will get you 2 yards when your other guys would have lost 2 yards. It's not going to happen on every single play, but you've got to make sure he gets the ball. There's no point in having him on this team and investing in him if you don't.
I agree with that. And the Colts line obviously has to get it figured out and create some gaps, some creases, some everything else. Here's the deal, folks. The NFL season doesn't start until you play a home game. So let's not get too worried about it yet. The Colts get their doors blown off tonight. I'll sit here on Wednesday and tell you why.
Almost everything that happened this weekend was nearly a polar opposite from the first weekend. It
Across
is so strange. I mean, it really is.
Besides New England.
There's
that's about
three
it.
Things you can point to that
Tom
are about
Brady,
the same.
Yeah. Bill Belichick and Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was that's pretty nice. But again, look, that's what we see from week to week. Everything's up
Great
and down and up and down and up and down.
And
adjustments here and adjustments there and a difference there. It's amazing.
The Colts will have a soap opera on their hands if they lose this game tonight.
Absolutely.
Because this is not a Jets team that you look at and say, oh, it's Rex again.
If they get beat tonight, it's because they're getting physically dominated up front and Luck's getting
hit
too much. It is.
And you turn the ball over in the NFL,
it's
absolutely suicide and you can't do it.
Because we're already talking about that side of things. And if you got to continue to talk about it because it cost you a game against the New York Jets.
At home.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Brandon Marshall.
At home. At home.
And no Rex Ryan running the defense.
And after the week you came off of at Buffalo, you can't have two in a row. And it'll be open season. I don't think that'll be the case. The final score from Lucas Oil Stadium tonight, the Indianapolis Colts 34, the New York Jets 17.
I like it. I think the Colts are going to win. I will take 31-10. How about that defense showing up tonight and making trouble
Gets a
for
little
Ryan
loud
Fitzpatrick.
In there.
Monday
Gets a
night.
Bothersome in there.
Jeff Saturday
and
night. Robert Mathis coming on.
You nailed it.
It's going to be a big crowd tonight.
Luck 14-1 after a loss. What's that mean? He's smart. He figures out. He doesn't do it again.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you like to see, the bounce back ability. And when you only have as many losses as they do, 11-5, three straight years, they fix it pretty quickly, Dave. And the end is not near. It's not even close to being near. So I think everybody should sit back and enjoy the game, take a deep breath, and root for the Colts. We are your exclusive home for Colts football in Monroe County, WGCL.
Coming up in just a couple minutes, so don't go anywhere. Bob Lamy and the Colts Network to take you through Monday Night Football. Joe Smith tomorrow night. Joe Smith Sports Talk Live, 6 o'clock. We'll have the South Girls golf team, who are now Conference Indiana and sectional champions. And then we'll be back Wednesday, Terry and I, for In the Zone, 6 o'clock on Wednesday.
And hopefully,
so tune in then.
Hopefully it's not a medical examiner's report on week two.
Talking about a big Colts victory.
There you go. And that's the Andrew Luck we remembered. And, boy, that's why you got Frank Gore. And look at that Mathis guy.
How about that defense? Wow, those guys are super smart in the front office also. Got to head on out of here, folks. We'll talk to you Wednesday. You've been In the Zone.